This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Saudi Arabia is watching closely the emergence of the Shiite Muslim community as the dominant political force in Iraq. 10% of Saudi Arabia's population also is Shiite, and for most of the kingdom's history, they've been considered second-class citizens to the Sunni majority. Some religious conservatives in the country remain hostile to the Shia, but there is a process underway to include the Shia in the mainstream of Saudi life. NPR's Mike Schuster reports from Riyadh.
In the history of Saudi Arabia, there have always been some religious zealots who save their deepest hatred for the Shia. The schism in the early history of Islam has never been forgotten. Last May, in the wake of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, the Shiite community petitioned Crown Prince Abdullah for greater rights and freedoms. They called their petition Partners in the Homeland. The Crown Prince accepted it for study, and the question has now been put on Saudi Arabia's tentative reform agenda, says political scientist Saleh Al-Katlan.
No matter how limited, I think we are coming at a time we'll have more openness, more recognition of diversity, including the Shiites. People are all aware that in order for reform to succeed, it has to be inclusive.
Still, the Shiite petition for rights was delivered in private, testament to the continuing sensitivity of the issue. To the most conservative of Saudi clergy, the Shia are evil and bent on taking over the Muslim world from within. Shia cannot take part publicly in their own major religious observances in Saudi Arabia, as they do in Iran, and now with the toppling of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. But says Michael Duran, a Middle East expert at the Council on Foreign Relations, Crown Prince Abdullah's acceptance of the Shiite petition nearly a year ago signaled his support for the reform process and his desire to reduce the power of conservative clerics in the kingdom.
It's a huge political act that should not be belittled. Even to entertain the petition sends a real message that the government is thinking about moving in certain directions. And it opens up a space for discussion that did not exist before.
Indeed, the Shia took part late last year in the so-called National Dialogue, which was held in Mecca and focused on extremism in Saudi society. And that's a good thing, says Abdulaziz Al-Ghassem, a young lawyer who brands himself a moderate Islamist. This is a big problem in Saudi society, says Al-Ghassem. In the past, you only heard the extremist voice against the Shia. The treatment of the Shia was left to the clergy and the government didn't interfere, Al-Ghassem says. But now there's a serious effort to transform how the Shia are treated. Most Saudi intellectuals are reluctant to admit that the anti-Shia bias runs very deep in Saudi society. Mohammed Al-Zulfa is a historian and a member of the Saudi Consultative Council, a 120-member body that advises the royal family. His view of the Shia-Sunni split is typical.
It is only few, very few group believes in that in Saudi Arabia. The extremists. Shiites are Muslims. They are our brothers. We have differences, but I think we have many ways to understand each other, but no way to have war against them or to believe they are not Muslim or to be afraid of the Shiites if they have a role in the government of Iraq.
Saudis of all political stripes are nervous about what is happening in neighboring Iraq. But some hardline clerics, perhaps the most deeply anti-American force in the kingdom, believe that the United States is conspiring to put the Shia in power in Iraq, with the ultimate goal of overturning the status quo in Saudi Arabia. They share this view, it appears, with some of the terrorists who have been active here as well. And because of that, says Michael Duran, what happens in Iraq could have a profound effect on the reform process in Saudi Arabia.
The clerics are depicting all of the reform process of the crown princes as part of a Shiite conspiracy. If there were a sectarian war in Iraq, it would give the clerical right, not just Al-Qaeda, but also the clerical right in Saudi Arabia, ideological resources with which to bash the government on this issue of reform.
How the top Saudi leadership views all this is somewhat of a mystery. Diplomats here say they want the U.S. to succeed in bringing stability to Iraq. What they fear most in Iraq is chaos, and if the end result is a Shiite-dominated government that is stable, that can be tolerated. Reflective of this view is Abdul Mohsen Al-Akas, also a member of the Consultative Council and advisor to one of Saudi Arabia's biggest publishers.
This thing about whether a Shiite majority will be predominant in a future administration in Iraq is really immaterial.
Still, Saudi leaders are keeping an especially close eye on Shiite Iran, the role it plays in Iraq, and on the outcome of the political process there. Over time, if stability is reestablished, it could give the reform process more room to breathe in Saudi Arabia, and that will help to break down sectarian barriers here, says Saleh Al-Katlan.
there is something that we all share, which is the country, I mean, the our national identity. That is more important than limiting ourselves to some sectarian, you know, differences, mm-hmm. you know, that has a long history.
A history that at least some Saudis are now hoping to change. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Riyadh.